JC Corcoran Podcast.
Yes, so I was at the Glamour Women of the Year Awards and Katie Couric comes up, and yeah, I love her, and she's like, I just love you. I love humor. like anyone who loves cop, would you ever be like, humor? So Katie's like, I'm gonna sit next to you at dinner. So at dinner it was Colbert. Yeah, then Katie, me, and then Mindy Kaling.
Fantastic.
It was like a sick table. So, ooh.
Yeah. We wanna be at that table.
I wanted to be there. And I was there. And so but anyway, so then Katie is like, oh my god, my husband's here. Like he wasn't invited. It's so embarrassing. They're like newly married, I guess.
Yeah.
She's like, should I go talk to him? And I'm like, I don't know, Katie Couric. Like that's your husband,
it's
I guess.
Your husband, yeah.
And I look and she left her phone. She left her phone open to text from him.
Oh.
So, I know. So, don't worry, I didn't do anything. Except I picked it up and I just, without even thinking, text him, I want to have anal tonight. And I sent it. Jimmy, come back. Jimmy, come back.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm like, I didn't even think of it. I pick up the phone. And it happened so fast. I show Mindy and I go, well, look what happened. She's like, what do you mean what happened? You did that. You just did that.
Oh my God.
And I show Colbert and he is on the floor laughing, like on the floor. And then Katie comes back like 90 seconds later and her husband are like, so we're leaving. Like, I don't know why he wants to leave. She loves humor.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, April 5th, 2023. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. Well, as we speak, we have severe thunderstorms moving into the area. Out around O'Fallon, Missouri right now. Going to be in downtown St. Louis in about a half an hour. We're recording a little bit early here today because I have a baseball game at 10 o'clock. So I'm burning it at both ends here because I was up late last night seeing the movie. We were talking about this. This is a new movie with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon called Air, and it's about the guys who invented the Air Jordan shoe. That movie opens today. Saw it last night. Give you a review here coming up in a few minutes. The severe weather, by the way, for those of you listening at the normal post time of 11 a.m., should not be very concerned if you have tickets to the baseball game this afternoon. This is the first business person's special, and the Cardinals will be trying to salvage at least one more game out of this homestand. A little controversy last night, and it might be a little more than a little controversy because, as everybody knows, Tyler O'Neill is one of these guys with all the raw talent in the world, can hit, can run, can field, got enough speed, can cover center field. And he's one of these guys that I think people are just waiting for him to break through, though. A lot of people would say he's fun to watch. He can do all the important things, but he just hasn't really sort of completely crashed through yet. There's a lot of people comparing him to J.D. Drew, and I think that's a reasonable comparison, I think. So in recent weeks, with all these outfielders we have, and with a lot of people wondering if Tyler O'Neill is ever going to really break through, there's been some rumblings of trade talk, even though it appears to me that Dylan Carlson, and from what I hear down at the ballpark, it's Dylan Carlson who's on the bubble, and there might be something going on behind the scenes that would involve a trade of Dylan Carlson for either a starter, and then you got that situation with Soto, and so who knows? So last night is the seventh inning, and the Cardinals have not been winning, and that complicates things. All right, so last night, seventh inning, and Tyler O'Neill is on second, and and the Cardinals are losing 4-1, and we're not winning a lot of games here to open up the season, and Tyler O'Neill is rounding third and heading for home, and they cut to the shot of him rounding third, and he's not going full speed. It's very clear he's not going full speed. And he does one of those things that just drives me absolutely batshit crazy. And that is, he's looking over his shoulder to see what the play is. When you're on second and you're rounding third, you're supposed to pick up your third base coach. He's going to tell you what to do. And then as you're rounding third, you should be looking towards the plate because the on-deck hitter is standing behind home plate and he's helping you too. It's like an extra coach out there. And he's telling you it's going to be close. Get down, slide left, slide right, do whatever. Hurry your ass up and get moving here. And bingo, Tyler O'Neill is thrown out at the plate by quite a bit. Well, after the game, the reporters got both of them. First up, manager Arlie Mommerl.
That's not our style of play as far as the effort rounding the bag there. It's unacceptable.
And then they all went running over to Tyler O'Neill.
He was pretty blunt about it. He didn't think I gave the best effort. I'm out here every day grinding my ass off. Giving it my all and trying to stay on the field for 160 games out here. So,
Well, I don't know. Remember, this was years ago, sometime in the early 2000s, when the Cardinals had a rotten start to the season. And about 10 days in, some reporter was asking Jim Edmonds, and Edmonds said, I don't know, just not playing well. We're just really, really tired right now. And people are like, you're 10 games into the season. How can you be tired? And what they're not taking into consideration, because Edmonds had a point. He really did. The situation that the players find themselves in at the beginning of the season is really, really grinding because you've been living away from home for 6 weeks. A lot of these guys have wives and kids. You have the daily grind of spring training, and spring training is a long day. Those players are in the clubhouse every day at like 6 a.m., and you're getting out at 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon. Those are long days. That's 6 weeks. It's spring training. Now you're packing everything up and you're moving, or you're trying to get your family moved. Maybe they're with you. Maybe they're somewhere else. You're trying to rendezvous. You got to get from Florida back to St. Louis somehow. A lot of these guys have driven, so it's not as easy as just jumping on a plane. You got to drive. You got to get your shit all packed up, and you got to drive 850 miles. Now you get to St. Louis, and boom, you're right back out on the field for a couple of practice sessions. Then you have opening day, and that can be very, very exhilarating, and you're playing every day, and the games count now. It's not like spring training, and like I said, I think Edmonds actually had a point. Most people didn't give him the benefit of a doubt on it, though they jumped halfway up his ass, going, "Oh, you'll be tired after 10 days. And let's also remember that, especially towards the end of his career, Yadier Molina, a lot of times ground out and not run full speed at first. We all saw it. But as Yadi would tell you, and as his teammates would tell you, and as the management of the team would tell you, it's all right. We're not going to beat up on Yadi because he's catching. He's getting old, and we would like him behind the plate for as many games as we can get out of him. And, if he feels like he can preserve some of his energy by not running full speed on a routine ground out to end the inning, nobody's really getting hurt by that. And also, frankly, the rules are different for a player that is immensely popular like Yadier Molina. Those same rules don't apply to a guy like Tyler O'Neill. So my guess is before the game today, they'll talk again. They'll get it all out in the open. It'll all be done with, and nobody will even remember that this happened. But for right now, yeah, it's sort of interesting. Severe weather, we were just talking about it a moment ago. I meant to mention that it was Glen Allen, Missouri, a town I've never been to, but it's about 30 miles from Cape Girardeau and down near Farmington and everything like that. And they had some pretty good devastation down there. And then I have friends who live in Columbia, and this is Columbia, Missouri, and they had baseball size hail last night. You know how I know that? Because they posted it on Facebook, and there's a baseball sitting there, and there's a couple of the hailstones. That'll get your attention. Not only will it damage your property and fuck up your car, if you decide you want to go get pictures of that outside, You get hit in the head with a hailstone the size of a baseball. It was like that video the other day of that woman who was trying to video the tornado, and the tornado almost sucked her out of her house. And her husband was holding on to her by one arm. And if he had let go, poof, she's gone. And then they put her on TV and she's like, yeah, I think I learned my lesson. Jesus, you think? By the way, I had a friend a couple of years ago who briefly was dating one of those dent removal guys. And he was a real mercenary too, because what they do is they migrate from one area of the country to the other depending on where the storms have been. So in other words, if you have like a giant hailstorm with all sorts of damage in Springfield, Illinois, well, people actually come from all over the country and descend on a place like Springfield, and there's plenty of work. And so like every one of those dent removal companies, you know, sort of descends onto the area and starts going to work removing these dents from these cars. And this guy was making close to $300,000 a year just removing dents from cars. And he had all the equipment in his truck and everything like that, and he would just go to wherever the damage, where the devastation was, and start fixing cars. And the guy, he was working his ass off, but boy, was he making. I couldn't believe when he told me how much money he was making, and he sort of broke it down for me, so I knew he wasn't making it up. So, you know, it's one of those times you sort of look around and you go, I got into the wrong goddamn business. All right, so Ollie and Tyler, where do you want to go next? Trump? Why not? Have we all seen the video now of Trump being ushered into the courtroom yesterday? And the shot that seemed to get everybody's attention was the video of the guy ahead of him, the cop ahead of him, did not hold the door open for the former president. He walked through it, and then the door started closing on Trump. Trump had to push the door open with his own tiny hands. And somebody pointed out that might be the first time he's ever had to open a door for himself in quite a while. And it seemed to add insult to injury, by the way. But I think everybody saw the video. I think Colbert did too.
There was one camera in the hallway outside of the courtroom where the ex-pres found out that there's a lot less pomp and circumstance around you when you're the defendant than when you're the commander-in-chief.
There's a court officer, I believe, who enters before him, doesn't hold the door open for him. And the former president actually has to push the door open for himself, which is probably the first time he's had to do that in quite some time.
Wow. Wow. That's kind of special. It's not often you see a door hitting an ass on the way in. Hey!
Pretty good joke. Pretty good joke. So yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene hops on a plane from South Carolina or Georgia or what's the difference? Anyhow, flies in. Flies into New York. They give her like one of those cheap bull. I mean, it's a bullhorn I have. And she's trying to, you know, address a noisy New York crowd on this little thing. And they're basically booing her. And she only stayed 10 minutes and got the hell out. But then she started doing one-on-one interviews from her SUV. And first up, Jimmy Fallon with one of those clips.
Marjorie Taylor Greene was then interviewed about Trump's indictment, and she made an interesting comparison. Listen to this.
I mean, think about this. President Trump is joining some of the most incredible people in history being arrested today. Nelson Mandela was arrested, served time in prison. Jesus was arrested.
Jesus saw that and said, Jesus.
And I'll tell you this, I think The Daily Show sort of messed. By the way, Jon Stewart popped up last night on, what show was it? It was on The Daily Show, of course. So when Jon Stewart stepped down, I think they really overthought the whole thing about who was going to host. That job should have gone to Samantha Bee, but they overthought it. They brought in Trevor Noah. There are people who tell you that Trevor Noah did a good job. I was not among them. I don't think that he did a bad job. I just don't think he ever broke through. And you don't want to be the guy who replaces a legend. And Jon Stewart was a legend, so it's sort of like a no-win situation. But they've been having these guests come in. Chelsea Handler did it for a week. John Leguizamo, who I cannot stand, did it last week. Al Franken did a great job 2 weeks ago. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, they may have the answer to who the new host ought to be sitting right there looking at him. And I hope they don't overthink it this time, because Roy Wood Jr. is a fucking riot. This guy is so funny. And I could have just sat here and played you the entire first 15 minutes of The Daily Show last night. That's how funny the thing was. But here's the clip, and this one also includes Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And to the police's credit, to their credit, they handled it perfectly. They kept everybody on both sides far enough apart so nobody got hurt, but close enough so they could still roast the shit out of each other. Classics. Don't nothing win an argument faster than a yo mama. It hit like a shit. Just like yo mama. You lose. No matter what you say. Donald Trump is a political prisoner unfairly targeted by the criminal justice system. Yo mama, bitch. Oh. Oh. That's how it hits you. You bleed out. But it was a crazy scene downtown. It was wild. And one of the people making it crazy was Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, Marjorie Taylor Greene. MTG swung down to the courthouse, double parked a broomstick, and took part in the festivities. And today, she offered a defense of the president that I've never heard before.
President Trump is joining some of the most incredible people in history being arrested today. Nelson Mandela was arrested, served time in prison. Jesus was arrested.
Jesus. That's what I'm thinking too. Like, Jesus, what the hell is wrong with this lady? Compare Donald Trump to Jesus. First of all, Jesus walked on water. Donald Trump can barely walk on land. Now, the crazy thing about all of this today is that Donald Trump didn't even have to come to New York. He could have done the whole arraignment at the crib. Because apparently, they gave him the option to be arraigned over Zoom. You know, like Nelson Mandela and Jesus. But I get it. I completely get why Trump didn't do it over Zoom. One, he'd have got on camera. They would have just found more classified documents in the background. Two, Trump wants publicity. Look at how he came out of Trump Tower this morning, giving the black power fist like a real political prisoner. He lives for shit like this. Hell, Trump liable to show up to court every day dancing on top of a car like Michael Jackson. Just tap, tap, tap.
Well, I don't think anybody was surprised. Everybody knew it was going to turn into a big circus, and that's exactly what's happening. And like I said, Roy Wood just absolutely hitting it out of the park. God, is he funny. All right, Easter coming up this weekend, and you have those traditional Easter egg hunts. All three of my daughters, I can remember various places. We went to Forest Park 1 year. We used to do it in our own backyard, but you know what? The price of eggs is screwing everything up. And so some people are saying, well, let's do potatoes this year. For starters, a dozen potatoes might not even be cheaper than a carton of eggs, especially those smooth golden potatoes that have the really nice color and everything. Those things are expensive. An early Easter egg hunt at a mall near Dayton, Ohio, devolved into chaos on Sunday after parents got too much into it. People got knocked over, and adults were even seen shoving little kids out of the way. I've seen that. The mall says it won't be hosting any more Easter egg hunts in the future. As we were talking the other day, I don't like the whole April Fool's thing. It's getting too dangerous, and it's making me very uncomfortable, and I couldn't even look at social media all day. I got up Saturday morning, and as I frequently do, grab the phone and start just checking the overnight news, just seeing if there's anything I missed, and I see two big stories, and yeah, you guessed it. I get completely reeled in, and I'm like, holy shit, look at this. It's like, and then April Fool's. Oh, crap. And then you got to really wake yourself up. You really got to wake yourself up. Otherwise, you'll keep doing it. You'll keep getting suckered in to these dopey stories. A 21-year-old YouTuber, I don't know, maybe these pranks are getting too dangerous. 21-year-old YouTuber named Tanner Cook. And right there, that sentence right there, that lead sentence, you know the story's not going to end well. A 21-year-old YouTuber named Tanner Cook is lucky to be alive after he pranked a random guy at a mall in Virginia on Sunday. It's not clear what the prank was, but Tanner says it was a simple, practical joke. He has a YouTube channel where he does stuff like that, asking women to play naked Twister and pretending to puke on Uber drivers. Oh, he's just hilarious. Anyhow, on Sunday, he was filming a video at a mall in Northern Virginia, just outside Washington, and he approached a 31-year-old guy named Alan Colley in the food court. Alan obviously didn't find the prank funny because he pulled out a gun and shot Tanner in the stomach. The bullet pierced his liver, but paramedics got him to the hospital. He had surgery. It sounds like he's going to be okay. The guy with the gun is now in jail. He's facing charges for aggravated malicious wounding, use of a firearm during a felony, and discharging a gun inside a building. And you know what? I side with him. Now, you can't be just shooting people who prank you and you got pissed off or whatever. And also, you have to take into consideration where it happened. You know, you're a food court in a shopping mall. You're going to have a tough time trying to convince people that you felt like your life was threatened or something like that. If it happened in a parking lot at 9:30 at night, that's one thing. But I think you see what I'm saying here. There's another video making the rounds online of somebody in Spain leaving a laundromat seconds before a dryer explodes into flames. Sounds like it was caused by somebody leaving their lighter in a pocket. And Ford has gotten a patent for flying drones that could come up and jumpstart your car if your battery dies. Is this the future of AAA? All right, let's talk about the movie Air, which opens today. This is a movie directed by Ben Affleck. He's also in the movie. Matt Damon is in it. Jason Bateman, who we'll talk about here in just a couple of seconds. Chris Tucker, Chris Messina, Marlon Wayans are the basic guys. And when I say the basic guys, I'm not kidding either, because there are no women in this movie with two exceptions. Actually, it's 1.2 exceptions, because there's a couple of flashes of a secretary in this movie. And then there's Viola Davis, who plays Michael Jordan's mother. And other than that, there are no women in this movie. None. Now, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. This period of time that we're in right now, sort of the gap between February, where you have all the movies for Valentine's Day, so all the people going out on dates have something to do, and then Memorial Day, which is when big blockbusters start coming out. But, you know, you start talking about late February, definitely the month of March, and most of the month of April, and even into May. This is a traditional dumping ground for movies that the movie studios have made and then tested, and the tests didn't come back very well. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let's just dump it into one of the dead times. And this is one of those dead times. So when a movie is coming out, even though you have people like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck in it, I'm thinking to myself, I got low expectations. The only thing I could think of is, because it is a basketball-related movie, maybe they figured, well, let's open it up the week right after the Final Four comes down to the national championship, and maybe people will still be thinking about basketball. All I know is this. What a surprise last night for the movie Air. Pure entertainment. These guys are fantastic. The writing is great. The movie really, really moves along. And it's one of those great sort of quirky stories. There was a movie that Greg Kinnear made a couple of years ago called Flash of Genius. And it was about the auto industry technician way back in the 1970s who invented the intermittent wiper function you have on your windshield wiper on your car. And you think to yourself, How the hell do you make a movie about that guy? Well, I loved that movie. It was great, and he was great in it. And again, it's one of those stories that probably wouldn't normally get told unless somebody really came along and said, you know what? No, I think there's something here. And when you start thinking about the invention of the Air Jordan, as soon as I heard it and as soon as I saw who was involved, I was like, oh, man, I mean, this would really have a chance. But why are they dumping it into this period of time normally associated with dog movies? So I'm not going to mention that anymore because there's no point in it. This movie is fantastic. Looks like Matt Damon put on a little weight for the role, which was necessary to telling the story. This character that Jason Bateman plays in basically every movie, you know, he shows up in every movie playing the same guy, and I don't know how, but somehow it works. Again, that word quirky, sort of, you know, offbeat type of guy. Jason Bateman has this down to a T, and he's great. He plays one of the executives at Nike, and these guys are all pulling their hair up because Matt Damon's character is running around going, look, we have a company that's on the verge of going out of business, at least going out of business in terms of the basketball quote-unquote industry. We're getting our asses kicked by Converse. We're getting our asses kicked by Adidas. We only have something like 17% of the overall shoe business, and it's just, we're just getting our asses kicked. So it's very clear in the movie that Matt Damon's character has been friends with the Ben Affleck character, who's one of the executives of the company, for a long time. But, you know, Matt Damon is not exactly bringing home the bacon for the company. And so he realized he's got to really do something outside the box, as they used to say back then. It's annoying to hear it now, but, you know, back then it was like, got to think outside the box. And to make a very long story short, this Matt Damon character decides that they're going to, instead of spreading their advertising money around on a couple of key young NBA draft picks, we're going to put all of our money behind this guy, Michael Jordan. And people think he's crazy and they tell him he can't do it. So he says, I'm doing it anyhow. And there's a line I love in this movie where they say, you're judged by the rules you break. It's a central theme in the movie Air, and it's really, really played out nicely. But it's actually a story that's bigger than that because it's about instinct and about how you got to take risks. You don't get anywhere by not taking risks. And I know dozens of people, perhaps hundreds over the years, who get into some sort of business, some sort of industry, and they really start to rock it. They start rocking the boat. I know a little bit about this, okay? But they do things that are unconventional. They do break rules. I'm not saying break the kind of rules that are dangerous or hurt people or something like that. But you're like, well, if you just take what you've been doing, but then do it this way instead of that way, well, we've never done anything like that before. Yeah, well, you got to take those risks. But again, as I said, I've known so many people over the years who do something sort of innovative, are considered to be in a lot of circles, you know, real cowboys. It's like, wow, that guy, watch out for that guy. He does not think the way the rest of us think. And then you get there because you become immensely popular or successful at what it is you're doing. And you got there because you took risks and you trusted your instincts. But then you get in, you get that corner office, you get the promotion, you get into management, and you immediately begin playing it safe so you can protect your job and your fat salary and your corner office. And that happens all the time. And this movie talks about what if you don't do things that way? And Ben Affleck really gets the most out of Matt Damon's character. It's based on a true story. It's the mid-80s. The art direction, by the way, is fantastic. You see so much stuff in this movie, like these old Sony Trinitron TVs and, you know, VHS tapes and cars from the middle 1980s. Style. There's one scene people were laughing in the movie last night because Ben Affleck comes walking in one of those ridiculous exercise outfits that we used to wear back in the middle 1980s. It's really, really funny in that regard. I'm going to talk a little bit about Viola Davis, who is really the only woman in the movie, and she plays Michael Jordan's mom. Viola Davis, I believe, is the female equivalent of Denzel Washington in the movie-making business right now. And there's an upside and a downside to that. Because if you want either a very, very strong woman or a very vulnerable woman or just somebody to give a kick-ass performance and you need a black woman, boom, Viola Davis. My only problem is I wish they would start giving her roles that aren't necessarily carved out where you have the necessity for a black woman. Just take the best actress. And the best actress right now in a lot of circles is Viola Davis. She's fantastic and she's really good in this movie too. Although you don't really see a lot of her until, oh, I would say maybe the last 25 minutes. But we are judged by the rules we break. I just love that quote as part of this movie. Talked about Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Jason Bateman, all fantastic. Chris Tucker is really funny in the movie. Marlon Wayans has a small role in it, but he's good. This guy, Chris Messina, who plays Michael Jordan's agent, is excellent. By the way, the movie's not for kids. There's language in this movie that borders on the Lee Ermey scenes in Full Metal Jacket. Or if you've seen the outtakes of Melissa McCarthy in the movie This Is 40, where she talks about, I would like to take my foot bone and just jam it right in Karen Carpenter's face, except with a lot of profanity. So this movie is not for kids. It's an adult movie with adult themes, and it's fantastic. If you see what you think might be a little tinge of Jerry Maguire in this movie, I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't know if they did this as a joke or if the movie was cut down and thus a lot of his scenes just got taken out, but Jay Mohr, who of course was opposite the Jerry Maguire character in Jerry Maguire, Jay Mohr is in this movie for a flash, and I mean a flash, and also he's put on about what appears to be 60 pounds, and you might not even recognize him. But when I say he's in it for a flash, he's in this movie for a flash. So I don't know. I have to read some of the articles after this movie. And it opens today, after this movie opens up, and just see what that whole story was about using Jay Mohr in this movie. But I'm telling you, it was a real surprise. And the other thing about it, too, is that I think almost anybody can go see this movie. You do not necessarily have to be some fan of the NBA or Michael Jordan or anything like it. This thing is just 2 hours of pure entertainment. It's also very funny, and it has its moments of poignancy. And again, you got that underdog. You got that underdog who says, I didn't get to where I am by playing it safe. So I'm giving 4 out of 5 corks, a very enthusiastic 4 out of 5 corks for the movie Air with Matt Damon, directed by Ben Affleck. And that movie opens today at a theater near you. And as Dave used to say, I don't know how they know where you are, but somehow they managed to do it. All right, they're saying a Shrek 5 might finally happen with Mike Myers and everybody else involved in it. Jack Black planning a 20th anniversary reunion with his School of Rock co-stars. 20 years. Don't tell me that. Wow. Birthdays today. The lovely Lily James. Is there anybody more appealing and attractive than her right now? She was also in the movie Yesterday, where nobody remembers the Beatles. She's 34 today. Sterling K. Brown, 47. Paula Cole. I don't want to wait till my life. 55. Max Gale, Detective Wojciechowicz on Barney Miller, and also played one of the managers in the Jackie Robinson movie, 42. The Fox Broadcasting Network made its primetime debut on this date, 1987, 36 years ago. Married with Children, The Tracy Ullman Show, which of course spun off The Simpsons. Kurt Cobain ended it all for himself 29 years ago today. And Barry Manilow, on this date 6 years ago, came out as gay at the age of 73, the worst kept secret in the music business. Barry, we knew, dude. We knew. Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon will talk more about the movie Air with Matt Damon. Also, Cecily Strong from SNL. Victor Glover on with Colbert. Seth Meyers as Chris Pratt. And speaking of show business and entertainment, this year marks the 100th anniversary of the Hollywood sign. Though, because it's Hollywood, the sign is telling everybody it's only 29. And with that, the Tracy Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, April 5th, 2023 is in the can. We are here every weekday morning at 11 a.m. absolutely free. Please spread the word if you can. You can email me, jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram. with J.C. Corcoran. We have news coming very, very soon. But in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran